Blog Talk Radio.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Happy Shavuot to everybody. I trust that you had a wonderful weekend celebrating the birthday of the Church of Jesus Christ, meaning the called out ones, men and women from every tongue, tribe, language, culture on this earth. What a day, what a time that God's people are alive. And I want to encourage you today to lift up your head, raise up your hands, worship the Lord God today. Give him all the praise and all the glory. He certainly deserves it. He's an awesome, wonderful Father. And I trust that you in some way participated in even one word saying, you know, Shavuot or Happy Pentecost or some form of acknowledgement of the economy of the kingdom of heaven by acknowledging again the Feast of Shavuot, which is the Feast of Harvest, Pentecost. And I want to read a few verses today that are dear to my heart about this, and then I have some things I want to share with our listeners today. But I genuinely hope that you were able to participate. For those of you who participated in the Feast of Passover, wherever you go, quote unquote, to church, and that you brought your Passover offering at the beginning of the year, I hope that you were counting the Omer, and I hope that you presented to the Lord an offering on Pentecost, and you presented your life as an offering to the Lord as a worshipful being, and I hope that you participated in the offerings along the way, because this is part of the agricultural economy, and today marks the beginning of a four-month period of you reaping your harvest. You see, when we participate in the things of God, you have to reap your harvest. If you, you know, are giving tithes and offerings to your church or you're a giver, you have to be willing to receive your harvest. And so God is going to open the windows of heaven. He's going to pour out a blessing you cannot contain. And we are in agreement with you that the times that you have spent giving offerings, tithes, sharing, that God is going to now bring you into your season of harvest. You're there. Very purposeful, very intentional. So prepare to harvest what you have sown, and praise God. This is a spiritual blessing as well as a natural blessing. For what you sow, you shall reap. Whether we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap corruption, or whether we sow to the Spirit, everlasting life. So it's a spiritual principle in the economy of God in sowing and reaping. But also, for those of you, and I'm speaking predominantly to people that maybe have gone to church or the New Wine Ministry family, that people have actually gone out of their way to give a Passover offering at the beginning of the year because they understand the economy of heaven. And now Pentecost, and now with that Pentecostal offering to the Lord, and you go back and you realize what it is, now 4 months of harvest begin for you. So make sure you get your Passover offering or your offering for Pentecost to the Lord. Let him bless you. Let him multiply your seed sown, increase the fruits of your righteousness, and move on. But I didn't get on the radio today to talk to you about that. Although, when it comes to the feast of the Lord, we do believe that there is a blessing in this. It is spiritual, it is solical, and it is physical. So what I would like to do in honor of Pentecost and the beginning of a four-month harvest in the kingdom of God. Now listen, in the world there may be famine. And I know right now, I was talking to a young man last night who he says, even if the markets were shaken, even if the world system began to collapse, the markets or the, what do they call, I forget what it was, but it'll never break. And we were getting into this financial thing, and I said, yeah, except for one thing. If God draws out his sword against the treasures of Babylon, you know, then it will be destroyed. And you have to go back and look at all the ancient empires that were in their zenith of power and wealth, how they lost everything they have. Don't ever say that nothing can ever be lost, because when you start a fight with God, you're going to lose the battle. And of course, America has decided to start a fight with God in defiance and rebellion. And you know it, and I know it. I mean, this month that we're living in called Gay Pride Month. Well, in Washington, D.C., over the weekend, I guess some parade goers, the homosexual community, was marching, but shots were fired. And somebody heard it, and they scattered, and they all ran into these different places. And so they canceled, at least they postponed, the Gay Pride March in Washington, D.C. And praise the Lord. You know what? When people around this country march in defiance against God, and then the stand-byers and the do-gooders, you know, sit there and tolerantly say, oh, okay, well, we love you, we're going to support you. Well, that's not really love, and I'll tell you why. Because if you give the impression that what they're doing is okay and acceptable by God and by the church or by you, well, you're validating their eternal damnation. And I can't imagine what kind of love that is. What kind of love is it to validate and accept and tolerate that which God condemns, that he says absolutely they will not enter into the kingdom of heaven? And so I believe it's more loving to shout out against that movement, win the people's souls, call them to repentance by conviction of the Holy Spirit, that they may come to their senses and awaken and say, my God, what I'm doing is wrong. God did not make me this way. I was not created to be this way. This is a spirit, and I repent and get saved. Now that is love, but that's not going to happen by tolerating and sitting by and accepting and going forth with things. So, but that's another whole subject as well, because Gay Pride Month all over the world, do you realize, dear Christian brother and sister, what is going on in the world today? And it's a beautiful day in Northwest Arkansas. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous. We had a wonderful weekend. Several congregations gathered together in Taneytown, which was really awesome. Had a wonderful time of just enjoying Christian fellowship with people that really, really were excellent. And it was just wonderful. New Wine Ministries, I think we had 25 people or so show up, and we had a blast. Really, really good. And it was a great time. Now, the windows didn't open, fire didn't come down out of heaven, and there was no demonstrable, you know, recognition of anything. However, as we read this story, I want to get you positioned by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God to be ready to receive, okay? And so this is how we're going to start our Monday morning. It's how we do it. And Acts chapter 10 is where I want to go. Acts chapter 10 is where we're going to begin. And as I was saying, you're living in a environment that is being created by world powers to accept a spiritual influence. And so you have to put on the full armor of God. We put on that helmet of salvation, that breastplate of righteousness, that belt buckle of truth. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all things, we take up the shield of faith wherewith we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, the evil one. And we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and we get through today. We live one day at a time. That's what Jesus said. One day at a time, for there's enough evil in one day to have to deal with rather than dealing with, you know, the future days. So you're being called into a harvest. I hope you've sown good seed. You've been a faithful tither and giver. We're in agreement. God's going to bless you exponentially because it's harvest time. And these 4 months of harvest are going to lead us up to the Feast of Tabernacles, where out of the 4 months of harvest, there will be the final Feast of the Lord, all designed in the Torah, where God's people will come together for a final one-week celebration, and then they will go into a repose throughout November, December, January, February, and right around March, it will come through again, that awakening season of spring and Passover, and all the feasts will begin again. So this we talk about is the economy of heaven, because it has intrinsic value, and the principles still work. The principle of giving and receiving does work. Reaping and sowing does work. And when we cooperate with God, rather than Christmas and Easter, but we get with God with Passover and tabernacles, and rather than, you know, these man-made traditional things, but we follow the feast of the Lord, I think there's something wonderful. Now, our salvation is not in keeping the feast. Our salvation is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. But on this earth, we're learning to live in the kingdom, right? So we want to know how the kingdom works, because the kingdoms of the world are going to fail. But God has a plan that when the kingdoms of the world fail, that He has a system of government and kingdom power that will never be shaken. And if you and I learn to cooperate with the Father in His kingdom economy and His kingdom insurance, you know, reality and blessed assurance and healing, I mean, it's there. It does exist. And we teach this as we go to the ecclesia. But for the sake of time, let's go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, my favorite chapter when it comes to the Feast of Pentecost. And I'm asking you, please, just allow yourself right now to be moved into position so that you could be positioned to receive a blessing from the Lord. There's nothing wrong with receiving a blessing. Someone shout hallelujah. All right, verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. He was a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Now, that's very important. He was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave alms to the people and prayed to God always. Well, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now, what is an alm? He's giving, right? He's a sower. He's a giver. He's a prayer warrior. He's praying. He's a devout man. He's an Italian. That just happens to be the reality. They put it in the book, not me. And then it goes on to say this. He said, your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now watch, God is seeing this. Everything he's been doing is a memorial before God. He's remembered before God. He said, now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. So this angel is telling Cornelius, go to this particular place by the ocean where Peter's hanging out. Call for Peter. He's got a message for you. And so verse 7 goes on, and when the angel which spoke unto Cornelius was departed. Now that angel was a messenger of some kind. He called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. So now Cornelius is sending his servants to Joppa. And it says in verse 9, on the morrow, that means tomorrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spoke unto him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called, and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, get thee down, go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, "Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause whereof you are come?" And they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that fears God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for you into his house and to hear words of you." Then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and he called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up. I myself also am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. Now, before I go any further, get the picture here. There's this man from the Italian band. His name is Cornelius. He's a devout man. He fears God. He gives alms. He's quite a man. God is seeing his actions from heaven on earth. And God's going to move because he remembers this man's deeds towards his own people, Israel. He's in good standing with the Israeli people. And so God begins to move. He sends angels. The Holy Spirit is talking to Peter while he's having a vision. God is about to change the world here, folks. God is about to do something that has never, ever been done before. And I'm telling you that God is about to do something on this earth that has never, ever been done before again. That's why we're reading this, because we're going back to the book of Acts to read the memorial stones of the 12 spiritual stones, the 12 apostles. And if you've been following us, you'll remember that Joshua took 12 stones. The elders from the 12 tribes took 12 stones. They were memorial stones. What do these stones mean? Future generations would ask. Well, and they were reminded what God did, because God could do it again. And so when we read the book of Acts, there's 12 spiritual stones known as the apostles. We're reading about their acts in our generation, 2,000 years down the road. Why? Because God is about to do something again. And right now, there's a shift in the economy of heaven, while we're reading this story in the book of Acts, that's going to affect change on the earth. So the Spirit of God is giving visions to Peter. The angel of the Lord is ministering to Cornelius. There's a connection being made. They go. They find him. Peter goes back to them. He goes into the house. Now, there are a bunch of Italians because it's kinfolk, right? And so they were probably having garlic and oregano and spaghetti sauce, and they had all kinds of eggplant. Who knows what Peter walked into, but here's what we read. In Acts chapter 10, verse 28, he said unto them, "You know that it is unlawful for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So it looks like Peter finally got the understanding of the vision. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent, for I asked therefore what intent you have sent me for. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who, when he comes, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. So he reiterates the story. Peter's in the house. There's a bunch of people standing by. What's going on? Spirit of God's been involved. Angels have been involved. There's connection, communication. God is on the move. Verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and of the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. Now I want you to catch this, because Peter's just, he's flowing in his sermon, right? He's doing, I mean, earlier in chapter 2, he was preaching and 3,000 people were saved. Peter is anointed by God. He's spirit-led, spirit-filled. He's preaching, and people are getting born again. They're getting baptized, saved, right? Well, here he is. He's probably going with a great sermon. And then verse 44, while Peter yet spoke these words, now comes the power, folks. While he spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. One of the great movements in the economy of heaven. Get this now. Okay, regardless of what's going on the earth and what was going on, there was great persecution breaking out. Go back to Acts chapter 8, and Saul was bringing persecution to the church of Jesus Christ, and the Christians had been scattered to the ends of the earth, and they're being imprisoned and being put to death, and all this is going on. But in the economy of heaven, God is about to do something that was prophesied in the Torah, prophesied by the prophets of old, that there would come a time when God would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, that God was going to give the Gentiles, a people that were not even seeking after him, the very gift that God had given to the Jews first. And here it is. And it begins with the Italians. Mamma mia. It begins with the Italians. The Italians got the first fruits of the Holy Spirit. They were Gentiles, right? And then that Holy Spirit has come upon everybody who has heard the word of the Lord. and has done what God has given. He's just given this gift of the Holy Spirit. But here's the key. The shift of the economy of heaven, the timing for the prophet's words to be fulfilled, the timing of the prophetic words of the Old Testament to be fulfilled had now come. Because you can go back in the Old Testament and see that this moment was prophesied to come, but everything had to move in a divine order. And the divine order brought everything to this exact moment. First, the Holy Spirit came upon those men that were with Jesus, all Jews, and predominantly in the upper room. They came down, and God was pouring out a spirit. Jews were getting saved from all over the world during the time of preaching, Pentecost, all of that. And now, here comes the shift. God pours out his spirit. This we look back to, and we read these words, and we go, man, God is giving forth his spirit to all of humanity. And it is a gift. It is known as the gift of the Holy Spirit. And while these people were receiving the Holy Spirit, all Peter was doing was preaching. Peter wasn't laying hands on anybody, saying, receive the Holy Spirit. He wasn't having baptismal services. He was just obedient to a vision. God showed him, don't call anything unclean, because the Jew and the Gentile problem that existed, God was about to deal with that. And in Ephesians chapter 2, God fully dealt with tearing down the middle wall of perdition between us and them, that there was no longer Jew and Gentile when we come into Jesus Christ. I mean, there's Jew and Gentile when it comes to religion and all that stuff, but there's no Jew and Gentile when it comes to the economy of heaven. And so he's bringing this all together. That was kind of strange. No, there it is. So he's bringing this all together. There's one new man in the earth. It's the body of Christ, the bone of his bone, the flesh of his flesh. And here you and I are 2,000 years down the road, and we're ready. We might not even know the depth of our need. I'm not so sure that Cornelius was expecting to receive the Holy Spirit. All he knew is that Peter was going to say something to him. And while Peter is preaching, and you'll notice his message, it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what he was preaching, the resurrection. And while Peter is preaching, the Spirit comes because God ordained it to come. And the Gentiles now are positioned to receive the gift of eternal life. And God's Holy Spirit enters inside of them, each one of them that were there, that the Spirit came upon and into. They were now sealed and baptized by God himself, by Jesus Christ himself, into eternal life. They received the Spirit of God. And that Holy Spirit that went inside of them imparted within them a supernatural intelligence, a supernatural power, a supernatural counsel and knowledge and revelation and wisdom. That Holy Spirit that was on the inside of them, it was as though in the book of Acts there were like cloves of fire and it sat on each one of them, and they all received a measure of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came inside of them, and all of a sudden they're magnifying God and they're speaking in tongues and they're going in this thing is happening. But it's more than just speaking in tongues, the wonderful works of God at the moment. They went on in their lives with that spiritual intelligence, that revelation. They were feeding on the Word of God. They were gathering together in homes. They became the church, the Jew and the Gentile. Now, there's a big conversation that goes on in Acts chapter 15 when all the apostles get together and Peter tells this story to them, because the apostles, the Jewish apostles, they can't imagine that God has given his Holy Spirit to Gentiles. And so they have this big conversation in Acts chapter 15. It's a beautiful story. I mean, you love this story. Maybe we could just spend a minute there. So let's go there. It says, Well, I want to leave it alone right now. The bottom line is the Gentiles have now received the same gift as the Jews, and that gift has brought the Jew and the Gentile together in union as one. And it was no longer Jew and Gentile, it was Christ, and that's what Paul writes about in the entire New Testament, that in Christ Jesus there is neither Jew or Gentile, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, male or female, everything is Christ, because he's talking about a nature change from the nature of Adam, the natural man, the sensual man, the sensitive man, to the pneuma man, the spiritual man of the spirit. Because when the Spirit of God comes in to you and I, we are different. Heaven opens. We begin to see God in a new and living way. There's a supernatural intelligence imparted to us. We have a wisdom that we never had before. We have knowledge and strength and power to get through things that we never had strength to get through before. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit that you and I have that produces the fruit of a transformed life is carrying us, folks, all the way into eternity. Man, I don't know about you, but in this sin-sick world, in this mad, mad world that we live in, I mean, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And yes, there are pirates on the Sea of Life that want to, you know, take over our cargo and rob the treasure of the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's why we're told to guard our hearts. But you and I must cling to the Holy Spirit. You and I must make sure that we have that seal. Was there a time in your life when the Spirit of God came upon you? And yet, I know in the book of Acts, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, that in Acts chapter 3, 4, and 5, they were praying and the Holy Spirit would shake the house and they'd all get filled again. And maybe it's time for a fresh infilling or an outpouring or a baptism of the Spirit of God to assure his people around the world that you've got what it takes. You have the intelligence to know how to. You have the can-do on the inside of you. You have the dunamis on the inside of you, the dynamic, the dynamite, the power. You have the energy. You have the wisdom. You have the knowledge. You have the truth. You will be comforted. Because that's what the Holy Spirit is. He'll give you everything you need for every day of your life, and nothing shall be impossible to you who believe. And what is impossible for men is possible with God. And this is the life that you and I need to be living in the context of. Without the Holy Spirit, we are dry. Without the Holy Spirit, all we have is our own intellect, our own knowledge, our own sense of reasoning and ideas and concepts. But when the Holy Spirit comes in, you and I have access to his wisdom. And this is where you and I have to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit so that we can be led by the Holy Spirit. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can walk in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. This is the most important thing, particularly in the atmosphere that's being created around the world right now. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it is Pentecost weekend. Today begins the 4 months of harvest time, and I'm asking God to pour out his Spirit upon you and I, even as we're speaking. Good morning, Patricia Joy. How are you today?
I am doing very well because I have sunshine again today. It's so wonderful when sunshine comes, and you know, the Holy Spirit is that sunshine. That Holy Spirit makes everything bright, knowledgeable, and understanding for wisdom and everything else that is necessary. It is just absolutely the only function of the Spirit. The function of the Spirit is to bring us to an absolute knowledge of all things.
Well, the Holy Spirit will certainly light up our world to that. There is no doubt. Now, Patricia, you, obviously, I've known you for over 30 years. We've been married for 27 years, and I know that you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, and I know that your life exhibits that reality. And so your baptism in the Holy Spirit, was there anything special that happened when you were filled with the Holy Spirit that you can remember?
There was something that happened that I need to remember, or I do remember, I should say, and that is at the time that I received the Holy Spirit, I was told by those who have prayed over me to receive the Holy Spirit that when I would leave the church that I was in and begin to drive home or walk home, whatever the case was, that I would be questioned by the enemy of my soul as to whether or not I really received the Holy Spirit. And I realized then that what I was prayed for and prayed over to receive was going to be received by mere faith. Now, when I say mere faith, I don't mean that as a small thing. I mean the only thing. Mere faith was going to give me the wherewithal and the ability to continue on in that gift that I was given, that beautiful and filling of the Holy Spirit, to bring me to a place of the greater wisdom of God and the greater knowledge and the anointing. And in that, it took place because there was a questioning upon my heart. Was this real? Was I really empowered and blessed? And did I really receive this wonderful gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit? Was this a reality in my life? And as I continued on and learned more of the Holy Spirit, I realized that, yes, it was, even though I myself questioned it as the enemy came in to accuse me that it was just a, and the reason it happened is because there are churches that teach that the Holy Spirit work is not for this day, that we receive the Holy Spirit when we receive Jesus Christ into our lives, but there was not the empowerment and the baptism of the Holy Spirit within our lives because it's all been accomplished previously by the apostles. But as we learned more and more due to the Word of God and Scriptures, we learned that that was not a true teaching. And that the truth of the matter is that the Holy Spirit should infill us this very moment, this very time. And if it hasn't happened to you, ask for it to. And you will see a change in your life that you never dreamed possible.
Well, amen, Patricia. And I know there's so much more to that. And I just feel very much led right now to share with our listeners the word of the Lord that we received this weekend for New Wine Ministry Church. And it's kind of personal, but there are people that are listening that are partakers of this ministry over the airwaves. And I want to minister this encouragement to them that I know, as well as you know, that since we believed in Jesus Christ, the day we believed and accepted him into our hearts and were baptized by the Spirit of God, that our lives have changed. To me, there is no doubt. I cannot look back in my life and say, well, if I hadn't received Jesus into my life or the Holy Spirit, I would have grown up anyways. I was only 19 years old when I received Christ, but I would have grown up and probably just matured and had a nice life or whatever. That wasn't the case for me. I was on that wide road leading to destruction. My life changed. And so we have this witness in us. And yet right now, God is ready to shift the economy on this earth by his moving in the heavens. And what we need to get ourselves positioned to do is to receive by faith the fact that we are living in a prophetic moment, from Israel becoming a nation, the fig tree prophecy, the artificial intelligence, technology today, a maddening world of people calling good evil and evil good. We are living in the prophetic end times as recorded by Jesus Christ himself in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, the book of Revelation, 2 Peter 3, 2 Thessalonians 2. I mean, we can go on the down the road, read the Bible, look at the signs of the times and say, we are the generation. We're the 50th generation since the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth. If you count a 40-year generation, 50 times you get the year, you get the number 2000. We are 2000 years down the road. We are the 50th, which means we are the Jubilee generation. And within our 50th generation, all these amazing things are going on with Israel becoming a nation within their 70-year span of time. And this takes a lot of study and interpretation in the Holy Spirit. But Patricia, God is about to shift something on this earth. to the advancement of his kingdom purpose. But as his purpose advances, the world is going to go into some very deep woes, and we need to make sure that we are operating on the right side of this moment.
Oh my gosh, how true that is. You know, the word of God tells us clearly in Luke 21, very clearly, this is prophetic, body of Christ. This is, those of you who are listening must understand that prophecy is being fulfilled, and it's being fulfilled this very moment, even as we talk. And what I want to present to you at this time is what it says in Luke 21. And I think sometimes we bypass it without really paying attention. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. And it goes in this manner, 21:32 of Luke, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. And what is that fulfillment? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. We're speaking to you the word of God that will not pass away at this very moment. And in 34, it says, take heed to yourselves. And that's you who are listening, because you wouldn't be listening if he wasn't speaking to you right now. Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with suffering and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. Now, you may not be over drinking, you may not be overcharged with suffering, but I would tell you this, you may be overcharged with the cares of this life. And I am warning you by the prophetic word, by the Holy Spirit operating in me right now, that a snare shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. That is ready to happen. But there is a beautiful, beautiful word from God. If you would take heed right now, and if you have the workings of the Holy Spirit within your life and been baptized, you're going to be able to achieve this. Watch ye therefore and pray always. Again, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Do you want to escape all these things that you have been hearing about? All these things that have come against the United States of America and the world, all these things that you're listening to each day of being taken in by unholy individuals that want to destroy the work of Christianity and maybe even cut your head off. You want to escape it? How dare do you do it? By not allowing yourself to be ensnared by the cares of this life. Now, I'm warning you and telling you that that is the very problem in the church today. The cares of this life is just running rampant because of everything being heard on the media and all the concerns and worries of family right now. You cannot be involved with the cares of this life. There are other scriptures I want to bring to you, but what say you, Vincent, on this?
Well, you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking back to the scripture time that you're reading. When, think about this, the disciples 2,000 years ago, when they were hearing the words of the apostles, they were hearing the words of Jesus Christ, who was a prophet as well as being the ultimate Son of God. And they never neglected, neither Jesus nor the apostles, to remind the people of the words of the prophets of the Old Testament, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. They always employed their messages to societies. And I'm thinking in those days, there was no television. There was no radio. There was no cell phone. There was no computer. In other words, they didn't sit down in their homes in Jerusalem, Israel, 2,000 years ago, turn on the news and listen to what the news was telling them. The only information they had was what God had told them, what Jesus had told them, what the apostles had told them. And in the last days, men would become boasters and lovers of their own selves. And all the scriptures that were written, that's the information they had. And so when in 70 AD, Titus and his Roman armies were coming into Jerusalem to destroy it, well, we have evidence that many of the disciples of Jesus had already fled Jerusalem into the Judean mountains, into the wilderness. They had fled because they knew something, not because the news told them, and not because they, you know, their friend called up on the cell phone. They knew something by what they could see and by what they could hear in the movements and the rumblings and how they were, you know, things were being reported in their time and what they saw. And you and I, imagine right now an electromagnetic pulse where every electronic component is wiped out. I mean, just nullify everything. A CME from the sun comes, right? And God sends a coronal mass ejection from the sun. It totally devastates the entire world's electrical grid, and everything goes dark, right? Like the 1700s, all the way back in time. Nothing. Well, now we're here. And nothing really happens. Just everything went dark. There's no longer computers. Well, I guess that's going to hurt a lot of folks because planes run on computers, cars do, et cetera, et cetera. But now how are Christians going to navigate the times that we're in? Man, I'm not going to turn on CNN. I'm not going to turn on Fox News. I'm not going to go to the computer and get my information. I live in this little part of the world in my own little group here. Well, what's going on? What's going on? And how do we recognize the signs of the times that are truly being brought forth by God? And I'm telling you, the way that God moved in the book of Acts chapter 10 is it began with an angelic visitation to Cornelius. Peter was led up into the top of a house and fell into a trance and had a vision. The Holy Spirit was employed in Peter and told him exactly what he needed to do. And so here God was bringing the greatest shift on the face of the earth without the news media, without any other mechanism other than visions, angels, and vessels that were obedient to carry out his plan. And Patricia, I believe that in these last days, the deception is that we keep looking to the world media or to the world mechanism to tell us what's going on. Whereas if we would just sit back and be led by the Holy Spirit and allow God to impart the visions and dreams, we would know what time it is in the economy of God right now. And I just think that's very important, how the Holy Spirit is the guide that we need right now, each one of us.
And I agree with you. However, when we need to hear what's going on in the rest of the world, how do we find out if we don't have a media?
How did they find out 2,000 years ago?
Yes, by the Holy Spirit.
By the Holy Spirit.
I agree with that. In three places that I have just read to you, in three different places, it says in Mark, in Luke, and in Matthew to watch. In other words, we are to be watchmen on the wall. We have been crying out to the people of God to become watchmen, because if we do watch, that promises for us. And that promises, watch ye therefore and pray always through the Holy Spirit that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass.
Amen. So watching is looking into the world that we live in and recognizing the signs of the times. So there's one force of power that God has employed throughout the history of the world. I mean, he does control the weather. You can't tell me God doesn't control the weather. He's had angels wipe out over 180,000 military personnel in the book of Acts. One angel was sent. So God employs comets, asteroids, meteorites. He controls everything. So God has the weapons, right? Well, there's a wild man in this earth. And while we kind of monitor the wild man, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, you know, Hamas, Iran, you know, all these different Middle Eastern forces, there is a force that God has employed again and again and again from the seed of Ishmael to bring judgment upon the people. And if the news media is not telling us that. The news media is not saying, watch out, the Muslims are coming. Watch out, you know, these things are coming. They're kind of monitoring from afar if there's any movements here and there. But I sense that God's people right now, because of the word of God, they could read it and they can understand, you know what? The wild man can be employed at any moment to bring change to the face of this earth at any time right now with the sophisticated weaponry that they have gotten their hands on, because it's the Lord's anger is in their hand. Even though they are an enemy, God puts his weaponry in their hand to bring judgment to people that should know better, like Israel and the United States of America.
Well, I think that's why in the book of Joel, there's a promise that in the last days, there will be visions and dreams. Young men will have visions and old men will dream dreams. And that will be the way we're going to know and understand what the real truth is. Now, there's much around and about that we could hear and listen to, but what is the real truth? It's through dreams and visions by the work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And so, again, the most important thing is that each one of us are filled with the Spirit. Let's open the telephone lines right now. If you're out there today and you've had some experience with Pentecost, or you'd like to share an experience or get involved in the conversation we're having, we've got a good 10 minutes or so. The number to call is 818-369-0326. And Patricia and I are waking up on this Monday morning and we're saying, okay, what a busy weekend it was, but what a phenomenal time. But again, Patricia, there's opposition, isn't there? There's confrontation and there's pressure being applied by the world system that we live in and by the powers of darkness. Speaking of that.
The powers of darkness for the church is the inundation of demonic presence, trying to deceive, distract, and delay every Christian. And there are so many ways to distract right now, and abundant ways to deceive not only the Christian who really has the working of the Holy Spirit within them so that they may recognize and discern, but also their families. And we were at a gathering yesterday, and I was watchful. Be a watchman on the wall, correct? I was watchful, and I noted that family members of Christians are the ones that are giving the parents the most difficulties, not the jobs, not other things that could be very hard, financial problems. Everybody seemed to be all right there. But family members were giving their parents the most difficulties, the children at different age groups. And so these are the things that the Lord is saying, watch and understand and realize that there are difficult things happening within the body of Christ. And we have to pray constantly to be aware of how to minister life to them and to keep ourselves centered without the cares of this world.
Amen. Amen. Wow, you saw that. And that's true, because the children are probably closest to their heart. And family members, Jesus said there'd be problems in families in the last days, no doubt about it. I was thinking about going back to the conversation, where are we getting our information from? I don't think that the news media, computers, television are going to be broadcasting the mark of the beast. And they're going to be telling us, now watch out, the mark of the beast is this. That's something that's going to require in spiritual intelligence. He said, they who have the mind of the Spirit, right?
No, in fact, they're going to welcome it. In.
Right. So the Christian has to be aware of something that the world's not telling them is coming. In other words, they have to have a supernatural wisdom and an intelligence and an ability to really recognize and understand. And there are many ideas out there what it is, but we may be in something right now so deep and so dark, spiritually speaking, that we may not even recognize, because we're trusting the news media or somebody else to tell us. And what I'm saying is that the Holy Spirit will be the one to tell you, don't go in that direction. And so, you know, that's kind of my mindset on developing a relationship with the Holy Spirit right now. And I'm going to ask you to do something. The lines, there's a lot of people calling in, but nobody's wanting to talk right now. So that's okay. I'm going to ask you to pray right now for every person listening. I'm going to ask you to do this in the ministry gifting that God has given you. And there may be people listening right now, man, I've got the Holy Spirit. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to ask you to pray for the Holy Spirit in honor of His coming to the church 2,000 years ago to baptize afresh every person listening to this broadcast right now. And maybe that individual that never really has had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and maybe some that have, but it's grown thin, and there needs to be a fresh infilling, fresh oil.
I do believe that you do receive the Holy Spirit when you receive the Word of God into your heart, Jesus Christ, and surrender your life to Him. Then it takes the work of the Holy Spirit to bear fruit in your life. This is a beautiful, wonderful thing. Along with that, the perfect is the baptism, along with that, to be received, that anointing of the Holy Spirit, to open your eyes, to see, to be gifted in the areas of discernment, to be gifted in the areas of faith, to be gifted in the areas of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, to be gifted in the areas of the power of miracles. We're there, and we want this. Because this is going to get us through in these very difficult times. So, Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I just wanted to say before you begin to pray, our minds are being led and influenced by some other source than ourselves. You write in your book that either we're being led by the Holy Spirit or the unholy spirits. And when we spend more time listening to what's going on in the world and less time to in prayer, genuine prayer, getting the mind of Christ, getting the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to communicate that word, we could be in a lot of trouble because we could be deceived easily. Having the Holy Spirit is one thing, but relating in relationship to the Holy Spirit is another. And so as you pray for the Holy Spirit to come forward in the body of Christ, all that have an ear to hear, that are, whose hearts are wide open. There's a man out there right now that needs the spiritual intelligence of God. I'm telling you, there's a man right now, I see his face so clearly, he needs God's intelligence to deal with issues in his life. And the devil would torment his mind and bring all kinds of ideas and thoughts that have nothing to do with what God wants to do. And he's asking that man right now, begin to cry out to the Holy Spirit. So go ahead and pray for that, Patricia. We've got 3 minutes left in the broadcast, and let's ask the Holy Spirit to move sovereignly on people's lives today.
We welcome the Holy Spirit into our lives in a new and fresh manner, in an overflowing of His presence. We now come before You, O Father, and we thank You that You sent Your Holy Spirit to men through our Lord Jesus Christ in the resurrection. Your Spirit will encompass everything of whom You are. Now we ask that You would endow us afresh with the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be able to do exploits in these latter days, to be able to rise up and to discern the truth from the things that are absolutely deceptive. To have this discernment in such a mighty way by the work of the Holy Spirit that no deception can come to us within our thoughts. Now, Holy Spirit, we are thankful that You are with us. We are thankful that You are present, ever ready present in this moment we're in. We open up our hearts, our minds, and we lift our hands, and we thank You for the restoring of our understanding, our knowledge, and wisdom by the giftings of the Holy Spirit Yourself. Baptize us afresh. Baptize us anew. Overflowing until we cannot contain it anymore. That it will flow out from us to others. Bring forth now, Jesus, the wonderful baptism of the Holy Spirit that you said you would send unto men. And we are here. We are ready to receive you, Holy Spirit, into our life. We are ready to be baptized by Jesus Christ into a renewal that we have not yet experienced, a higher level of understanding and consciousness in giftings of the Holy Ghost within our life to guide us and to direct us into the heavenly realm, to see the temple of the true God in every way and every sense when there's so much deception around. Oh, Holy Spirit, now open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds, open our conscience, open our souls, open our spirit, and ignite your spirit within our spirit to such an abundance, to such a newness that we are now overflowing with the fire of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Receive this wonderful gift of God. Have it within you, Christian, but it will walk you through the narrow path. It will give you the light of understanding. It will bring you before the Heavenly Father in a new and living way that you have not known. It will give you power and might. When you pray, your prayers will be answered. And not only will they be quickly answered, but you will know exactly how to pray. Now, if you pray in tongues, you will pray because you did not know or understand anymore how much to pray. But when you pray in tongues now, the Holy Spirit will pray through you exactly what the Father wants to hear, and He will answer. He will answer. Oh, Holy Spirit, thank you for coming today.
Yes, Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
For your infilling.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
For paying the price.
Hallelujah.
That we may have the precious Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The new resurrection of life living within us.
Yes.
Oh, welcome, Holy Spirit.
Have it all, Lord.
We are in your presence.
Jesus.
And we receive you fully and completely this very day.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, oh Father.
Hallelujah.
For your spirit.
Hallelujah. Let the Holy Spirit, in Yeshua's name, let the Holy Spirit have his administrative right to your life. We say yes, Holy Spirit. We surrender to your administrative power, to your spiritual intelligence, that we hold nothing back from you. For the devil would come and say, don't give over to the Holy Spirit. He'll take something away from you. No, Holy Spirit, have your way. Take over and the administrative power of our decisions, for our will is yes and amen in you. Have your way. Take your people from this earthen realm into the spiritual realm, from the three-dimensional into the eternal dimensions of God. Bring vision and revelation and dreams, knowledge, increase, abundance, everything that we need to be equipped with in the days ahead. Holy Spirit, you are the treasure. You are the gift. You're the one that will say, this is the way, walk ye in it. You're the one that will say, don't go there today. Don't go here. Don't go there. Go this way. You're the one. Holy Spirit of the living God, hallelujah. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you, Holy Spirit, the Trinity of God, the deity of God. We thank you that this week will be divinely directed by the Holy Spirit for everyone listening today, that the steps of the righteous will be ordered of the Lord today, that there will be a moving right now by the Spirit's power to direct every one of God's people that are listening into faith, into hope, into love, into encouragement, into confidence and boldness to be able to know we rebuke the spirit of depression and oppression, and we renounce the carnal things that would stand in the way. We rebuke the opposition and the confrontation, and we call forth the breaker anointing to break through individually, spiritually, in our own personal lives, to go through into another moment in the economy of God. Praise the Lord. We've run over time. We're out of time. Get to omegaradio.org. There's a roundtable discussion teaching people how to get set free right now. Just tune your device, www.omegaradio.org. I'm Vincent Xavier. I've been joined today with Pastor Patricia Xavier. We're going to see y'all in a little bit. Get on over there. You'll have a blessed time. Shalom and God bless till we meet again.
Good morning.